Hey everybody, welcome to episode 15, I think, of GRCast. I'm Joe Ryan, your host, and joining me today in the studio, we have Matt Graucott.
Hello.
And Randy Dankovich.
Hey guys.
First time, isn't it, Randy?
Yeah, it's my first time on the podcast.
Woohoo! Cheer! Applause, sound effects, etc.
It's not the first time we've tried to do this, but it's the first time we got it to work.
Hey. That's the important thing. Now the people can hear your voice. Now the fans will come.
Right. My dulcet tones.
Well, let's kick it off with some games we've been playing. We might as well start with Randy. Give him a chance to talk about what he's been playing for the last, like, 6 months or whatever.
Well, 6 months. Jeez. You asked me to dig back in history here. I was going to think about what I played the last couple weeks. I mean, it's been a pretty slow summer, I guess. I've just kind of been playing through Borderlands 2 a lot. Building up different characters while I wait for the last, the next level cap that's going to come out is going to be a little ridiculous because it's going to break the game, but I still want to check it out. So I've been kind of just playing through that and playing through some older stuff. You know, the free games with gold that have come out, they've all been old as hell, you know, 5-6 year old games, but I've checked those. Like this month, it's Crackdown, the original Crackdown from 2007, which is, I've played, I don't know, a few hours into it just for fun. And it's, I don't know, it's just hard. It's hard to play a game that's so old like that at this point in the, you know, the Xbox cycle because everything's, you know, it's an open world game that's just super simplistic. You run around and jump and kick people. So, but I've spent a lot, good decent amount of time lately playing iOS games. You know, when there's not a lot of console stuff coming out over the summer, you know, iOS seems to take charge. And there's a ton of stuff that came out this week I haven't even got my hands on, but I played Riptide GP2, which I reviewed earlier this week, which is like a kind of like a Jet Moto Wipeout clone type game that kind of builds a lot with, it has a lot of water physics in it. That's really what it's built on, the Unreal Engine, and does all this water physics stuff. I mean, if you have an older device, it's kind of hard to play it on. Like even my 4S was kind of skipping around a bit, but that game was a lot of fun. And I've been playing Mikey Hooks, which I can't really talk about because it doesn't come out until next week, and we can't talk about it until Wednesday. So that game is going to be awesome, though. So played Mikey Shorts. Definitely check out the new one.
We're going to have to bring you back on to talk about that when it's allowed.
Yeah, we're allowed to have a review on Wednesday, but I couldn't let them push it any earlier. All I'm allowed to say is that I like it, and I do like it a lot. If you played, like I said, if you played Mikey Shorts last year at all, you're going to love this game because they're... One of the things that bothers me about iOS games is that when sequels come out, they're not really sequels. They're just the same game, you know, with some new skins thrown on. And this, you know, they changed the mechanics and the way they build the levels in this game to make it. The first one was, you know, pretty much a straight speedrun platformer. And this one's more of like late level Mario speedrun platformer where, you know, there's stuff flying at you from all over the place. And you're just trying to find that one line through the level. Which is a lot of fun if you're into that kind of thing. These guys know how to do it really well.
I instinctively hate anything that requires any level of hand-eye coordination or skill. And this sounds like it requires both, so I think I'll give it a pass.
Yeah, it does. It definitely, if it's a game, you have to love platformers to love a game like this. And you have to love working, like... I blazed through there's 24 story levels, and I got through those in about an hour and a half, but perfecting them is, you know, what takes time, and that's where it's really at, you know, challenging people on the leaderboards and stuff. You know, right now there's a dozen people on the leaderboards, people that have review copies, but once people start playing it, then it'll really get interesting, because people will get it down to the frame.
My last platformer was the Smurfs 2, and I can safely say that I killed more Smurfs than Gargamel has ever even attempted.
They made a Smurfs 2 game. Was it a disc game or was it a download?
It is everything. If you own a device,
oh
you can
God,
buy that game.
A disc-based Smurfs 2 game?
Mm-hmm. It was.
Wow.
It's a very dry platformer. It reminds me a lot of kind of the terrible tie-ins we all played when we were kids on the SNES. And it's about as fun as they were as well.
I don't even understand how companies can afford to put those out anymore.
It cost about £4 to make. It wasn't expensive.
Yeah, it's probably just reskinned from some other kind of foundation or framework that they've used before, and they just said, eh, whatever. Some 5-year-olds will buy it. That'll work.
It was published by Ubisoft, I think, and it felt very Rayman Origins if there was no good things about Rayman Origins.
I feel like I have to take issue with the fact that you said all the licensed games that we hated back during the Super Nintendo days, because Aladdin and The Lion King were fantastic when I was a child. I don't know what you're talking about.
You say that,
Yeah,
but
Aladdin's fantastic.
what you actually mean is the first level and a half of those games were fantastic. None of us ever got past that, let's face it. We played it, we lost our lives, we played it again at another time.
It's true. No, I don't think I've ever bought a movie tied-in game for a console in my life, when I really think about it.
I remember Hercules, the action game that tied in with that, and that was terrible as well.
Well, maybe they'll make up for it. Maybe Hercules will be in Disney Infinity and you can feel better about him when you see him there. Disney made the Hercules movie, right? Back
Yeah,
in the
that's right.
90s.
That'd be great. Hey, maybe they'll let you buy the Hydra character, and then you can play him in Torbox mode, and as other people attack you, you can grow a million more heads and just kill everyone.
I think you're going into this with the wrong intentions.
It's supposed to be Infinity. There's no killing, no dying. Goes on and on and on.
That's something I've noticed actually, just as an aside, there are a lot of games recently, platform games especially, where they no longer use the phrase lives or deaths. You don't die, you just have to respawn or restart. And these are like platform games.
Well, I think that's kind of the trend the whole game industry has taken over the last generation, is that things have moved away from forcing players to, replay parts of levels and stuff because they die. Everything's become incentivized, so gamers are only going to go back to a section of a game if there's a reason for them to do it. If there's, an achievement or something like that, people aren't. The amount of people, when we were kids and we would play Super Mario Bros., we'd play it over and over and over again to see how fast we could get through it, to see if we could find everything, and people just don't do that anymore. They blaze through a game in 10 hours and then sell it back. So forcing people to replay things over and over is just going to turn them off on games now, unfortunately.
I don't even play games that are 10 hours anymore. I just can't stomach it. It's too long. I'm playing Stranger's Wrath, Oddworld Stranger's Wrath at the minute, and it's basically set up in missions that'll take you maybe 25 minutes to do, and it's set up in a row, these say 12 missions or whatever, and even that, it's I'm struggling to keep up with it. It's just too long. I don't have that much of a life, but I can find other things to do.
That's the thing. They have these massively, the budgets for these games are massive. You think they'd be able to find different ways to make games interesting longer without having to repeat mechanics or, find these silly reasons to kind of pad gameplay, just add sections of story that really don't have anything to do with anything or just send you off on tasks. Like, that's one thing that I haven't seen change in the last 7 years from the games that came out at the beginning of the 360 to now. Like, say, some of your open world games, like, you have your 8 hours of story, but then they pad it with 20 hours of stuff that I'm not interested in. If you had given me, taken out that 20 hours of stuff I'm not interested in and given me 4 more hours of story, I'd sit through it because it'd be more interesting. There'd be something there, when you're just kind of doing the same things over and over again to get to this 40-hour mark. So you can progress to, finish the end of the story that sets up a sequel that you don't want to play. Disappointing.
But we'll buy it anyway.
The lemmings that we are.
They're just courting the achievement hunters and the trophy people like Matt, though. They only need to get 8 hours of story out of it, and then they can go, well, we can just throw a bunch of feathers around here and say, collect them all and get nothing except a little noise and a little digit on your card that says, oh, a trophy, those will be great. You can cash those in for dick because they aren't worth anything.
And I mean, games have tried to find a balance with that. Like BioShock Infinity tries to have, the voxophones. You go find all the voxophones, that gives you more things to do, more time to explore the world in an interesting way. The problem is that they put too much of the story in those voxophones. So if you don't hunt all those down, there's a lot of things that just don't make sense when you finish the game. And even that game has a, there's about an hour and a half, 2 hours, I'd say, about two-thirds of the way through that game that just feels like it's thrown in there because they didn't want to get to the ending yet because it would be too short. And I'm like, you got to be more, even with a game that's as inventive as that, you got to be more inventive than that. Like, you got to be able to keep us engaged for longer periods, not in one sitting, but overall as a collective. I mean, it's just so easy to, like you said, Matt, just pick up a game and then toss it down a few hours later. They all kind of run together at this point.
I think we're all suffering from end of generation fatigue. We'll all be ex really, really excited about everything again in a
Well,
few months' time.
I think it's a bigger problem than that. I think it's the same problem that we're having with movies, is that people are afraid to take financial risks, so the only things that they're spending money on are safe bets. Like when you have a franchise name that you know is going to sell 3 or 4 million copies, you're okay with putting $60 million into a budget. But if it's an un if it's something that's unknown, we're going to see some stuff at the beginning of this generation. But one of the things I'm really interested to see is how long that lasts for, because if things keep trending the way they are, we'll have some new, all of these new games are being set up to be, I'd say 75% of them have the idea of a franchise somewhere in the back of their mind, and I think that's happening too much. Like I like play one. Sometimes I like to play a game that just happens once. Like Bastion. I don't ever need to play a sequel to Bastion. I don't need to play Bastion again. I played that once, and now that company's on to making something different. But they're on a smaller scale, obviously. They're not making $60 retail games. The $60 retail games, there's just no, it's like your big budget movies. There's just no, just doesn't feel like anybody's having fun anymore. They're just doing what's safe to make money and then running away as quickly as possible.
Yeah, it's too expensive to make a game, so there's no margin for error. They have to squeeze every dime out of it, and then
It's too
it's
easy to
like, okay, here
fail.
we go. They take a risk and they just fall apart. If nobody, like, it could be a huge hit, but if it's not a huge hit, the company folds and your family starves. So make Call of Duty.
I mean, it's an interesting time for a console, a generation change, because the industry's in such a changing place. Usually when you see console generations, the new generations will mark, are marking some new thing. Like when the PlayStation came out, it was like, okay, we're moving into the 3D realm now. And then, the PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 came out, and we slowly got into this, okay, we're downloading things more. We need to have this arcade and all this other kind of social stuff set up. And it's one of the things I'm interested to see in this next generation is, I just totally lost my train of thought. What was I talking about? And just totally blanked. Innovation, that's what I need. I need more when in this next console generation. I can't play the same games for 8 years again.
Well, I think that's part of the problem that we're getting right now is it's like Matt said, everybody's feeling a little bit of like console fatigue. Like, God, we've had these consoles for so long. Now they're going to bring out new ones, and games are just going to be even more expensive to make, maybe more expensive to buy. I don't know if they've decided that or not. But then it's just going to be take less risks because we need to make more money to recoup the investment of the fact that we spent twice as much making this game that maybe nobody's going to play, so forget it. If you ask me, like, what's the best game that came out in the last 4 months, I'd say Earthbound on Virtual Console. That's kind of sad.
I just hope that they can make a Smurfs
Open world Smurfs 3 on the Xbox One,
story.
exclusive. Online only.
Hey,
Just
Ubisoft
for
published
fun.
it. I say we mix the Smurfs and Watch Dogs together. It's like chocolate and peanut butter.
Ubisoft has one of their own social networks too, right? That they you have to sign into to play
Uplay.
their games. Uplay. Are they going to be using that on the next generation? Is everybody keeping these kind of services going? I know EA said they're getting rid of some of their like sports related services.
Uplay will be around forever because Ubisoft loves to reward you for things that probably aren't that difficult. Have you ever seen any of these achievements in Uplay? They tend to be start the game and finish the game, and then you get 800 points with which to buy a PlayStation 3 theme or a avatar of some description.
I think the great that's crazy, all these different services you have. I think it was my wife and I were talking about this the other day, where if you're just talking about like, movies, buying movies or something, you could buy a movie from iTunes, you could buy a movie from Amazon, you could buy a movie on your PlayStation, you could buy a movie on the Xbox or whatever, and I'm sure there's 100 more places where you could buy just a stupid film, and then as soon as you've bought it someplace, and then you buy
Please
another one
rejoin
somewhere
the
else,
channel.
you've like fractured where you can watch your movies. You've got your movies on iTunes, like, oh, except I bought that one movie over here on the Xbox, so that's not compatible with any of my stuff. Now I've got to go over here. Oh, Samsung has their own service for TVs that has, like, movies and music and probably soon games on it. I'm tired of services. Not every company needs their own service to sell me something. Let's just stick them all in one box.
So you don't like to get your movies with that special digital ultraviolet copy?
Yeah, everyone loves ultraviolet, don't they? Ugh, I'm tired of it. I don't know if you call it a problem or not. I mostly use Apple products, so I mostly buy things from iTunes, so nothing is fractured for me. But I can see how it would be frustrating if people who don't know the difference are like, oh, I've got 4 movies on iTunes, I've got 6 from Amazon, I bought a couple more just off of, like, my streaming service on my Samsung Google TV, and then I downloaded the copy of something on my PS3 and another one on my Xbox, so now I have 800 movies, but they're split between 6 different services that I have to sign into, download. I can only watch it if I bring my Xbox and my PlayStation and my iPhone to somebody's house. Forget it.
That's why the Xbox One is a dumb name, because there's no such thing as having one media device for everything. You know, for the average American these days, that's just not, or even anywhere in the world, really. Like, it's just not, it's not realistic. Like you said, there's so many different services. There's going to be one or two of those services that you use that you know is not going to show up on the Xbox One just because, oh, the licensing couldn't work out, or we don't like these people, or this, that, and a third. And, well, then it's not the one. It's the one that's next to the other ones. That's not really a catchy of a name, though.
I was going to say, Xbox One, the other console.
I don't know. I guess the one thing that's good about the consoles is that there's only 2 brands. You know, it's not... But I guess it gets fractured within that with all these different game companies with their social, you know, their various, like, Uplay and whatever EA is going to use and all that stuff. But at least there's only 2 companies making consoles these days. Well, I mean, like, 3 if you count that end name company that I can't seem to remember their name. It seemed like a distant memory to me, but you know what I mean? It's not like you're dealing with 20 cell phone companies or something. It's 2, you know, at least we're down to 2 or 3, you know, Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo, I guess. Don't want to count them as a console company.
You don't want to start counting out Ouya.
Oh yeah. The Ouya. That's right. The revolution. Did you see that they what they're giving the people who supported their Kickstarter for, I guess for the people who got it late, or I don't know, just to say they're nice, they gave them $13.37 in credit in the App Store. I was looking for a quote to find out how they reached that number, but I couldn't seem to find it anywhere. Like, why it was $13.37? Just, well, I don't know. The Ouya sounds like. It sounds like a disaster of a game system.
1337 is leet speak for leet. I think that's probably the marketing idea there.
Have you guys, either of you guys, had your hands on an Ouya yet?
I saw one in a shop, though. It's been there since launch. That's all I know about this system, to be honest.
Have you played? You didn't play anything on it, though?
No.
I haven't heard very good things. At all.
Has anyone? You could just, like, get an Android phone, probably for free or whatever. People just throw them out in the garbage and then download games on there and play it anywhere, couldn't you?
Yeah, and you could use a controller with that. That would work better than the one that you use with the Ouya. Like, the biggest problem I've heard is that the controller latency is horrible on the controller, which, if you have latency on the controller, your system is pointless.
I talked about the Ouya to my brother. I just Twittered or something about who is the Ouya for? What is the point of this thing? And he was, I don't know if he's just like a big Android person or something or what, but he was like, well, think about all those times where you're tied down to a TV and you just want to play some games. Like, what are you going to do? And I was like, well, A, I can never imagine a time in my entire life that I was tied down to a TV but had no access to a phone or anything else. And B, if I'm tied to a TV, tie my PS3 to it also. What are you doing? Play a real game.
Exactly. Yeah, maybe. That's what I've heard, is that they, you know, there's a... It's not... Most people that are interested in it now, you know, post launch that didn't get involved in the Kickstarter are interested in it as a cheaper option to like a BoxyBox or something, because with the Android software, you know, you can sideload other apps and stuff on there. So, you know, they just released as a VLC player that you can put on there that allows you to, you know, that kind of opens what you can use it for, you know, when it comes to movies and stuff. But as a gaming service, no, I just don't see it.
I said that that thing was potentially useful to me as a box you plug in and then load in every ROM ever so that you could just grab one little box to play all of your Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis, whatever games on. Otherwise, forget it.
Yeah, as an emulator, I can see its use in that, but you know, if you have a PC and a controller already, you know, I feel like the Ouya is going, I don't know, I don't guess the Ouya is not really going after that crowd, but I don't know. The mobile game market is such a weird thing that's still figuring itself out, and it just has so many ugly trends in it that I think are gonna destroy the Ouya. There's just not, it's hard to find, you know, like really quality games you're gonna get enough time out of to make it feel like it. Even though the console only costs $100, you know, when you sit down in front of a console, you want to get a console experience. And when you sit down in front of the Ouya, you get a mobile experience on a TV screen.
Yeah, I'm sure those look great blown up to 50 inches too.
Yeah,
What doesn't?
that's it. I mean, you know, we have HD textures now, but you know, the Tegra chips, even as powerful as they think they are, it's not like they can handle complicated, you know, shaders and complex designs and stuff like that. You know, blown up to 50 inches is just going to reveal how simple the design has to be still on mobile.
I was saying to somebody the other day, maybe Randy will agree with me. It's hard to tell. He seems to be the other sort of iOS person or whatever around the website. I said to someone that if they, by the time we're at like iPad 6 or whatever, if they throw a controller in the box, it can't be third party because nobody buys third party shit. Maybe Apple people would, I don't know. But if they just packaged a controller in and said, make your game work with this controller, the iPad would be the most exciting console for me. It's a nice, decent screen. I can carry it anywhere. It comes with a control, so there's no reason not to put real controls in your games. I would be very excited.
Well, that's an interesting thing we'll see this fall when iOS 7 comes out, because iOS 7 has controller support built into it. It's just going to be a matter of, and I know they've been, I don't know if there's going to be a company that releases an official Apple controller, if Apple will, but I know they've been working with, and they've been talking to other companies about ideas for controllers, and you know, if they're going to build, if you know, company X wants to build a controller, how they should think about designing it. So they're moving in that direction. This is, it's the only real, like the new iOS 7, I'm not all that excited. I'm really interested to see what happens with this controller support, because like you said, if they can get a controller that works, you know, great over Bluetooth with an iPad, you know, with the tech, as the technology gets better and better, it's just going to make it a more and more viable platform. I mean, you know, they released XCOM on iPad this year, and it's not, you know, it's not the most technically solid thing in the world, but it's XCOM on the iPad and it's playable. So, you know, we're slowly starting to move there. I mean, people thought it was going to happen a lot faster than it is, but, you know, it's just the nature of technology. You know, Apple can only do so much innovation on their own products, you know, on a yearly iteration. So we're getting there though, and I think that 2 years from now, I think the iPad could be an interesting option alongside a console. I mean, this could have been a conversation if OnLive had gotten their stuff together and gotten the iPad out that they had planned on doing when their service was still live. You know, this might be a conversation we could have had already, but you know, that kind of fell by the wayside, and so now we've had to wait, but we're getting there, I think. Oh no, I was just going to say it would be really cool if, obviously, Apple's not going to work with these people, but you know, the different projects NVIDIA's doing to make those little tiny boxes that go like in your living room so you can stream your PC games to your TV and stuff, if they had something like that that could handle some of the, you know, the horsepower that is needed to run some of the more complicated things on the iPad. Like if you could use, like they have AirPlay with Apple TV, but if they had a more like a really seriously powerful Apple TV, you know, that you could connect your iPad to and stream stuff through there to the iPad, then I think you really have something. But again, something like that is, would be a few years away. But I think Apple's working towards something like that.
Yeah, I was going to say
You know,
they
if they
should
ever put
just.
out that TV that they're working on.
There they go, the real Apple TV. Even if they, I think if they just made a real controller and they had an interface with the iPad, and then also with the current little Apple TV boxes, they could start letting you download, I mean, even if you were just downloading the same games on your iPad, you could play them on the TV. Same thing that Ouya's doing, except everybody already owns an Apple TV. Or, you know, people who are interested already do.
I mean, they have a few games where you can use your iOS device as a controller through AirPlay, but it defeats the purpose because you're still using touch controls. So, you know, in some games, it's never going to be effective. Like, when I first played Real Racing 2, when it was one of the first games that had the AirPlay where you could have something, you know, a second screen on your iPad. I mean, that was really cool, you know, cause, but you're also just playing a driving game there. It's a little bit different if you want to play, like, you know, a shooter or something like that, which I don't understand why people are still putting out first-person shooters on the iPad. Even Deus Ex, I couldn't get into the controls of that. There's a new one out called The Drowning that I haven't had a chance to download yet. That's supposed to, the guys were really excited about this wipe and touch control screen they came up with, but it's too much work, you know, and I can just pick up an Xbox controller and play a shooter. So much easier than using this, you know, trying to play Modern Combat 4 on the iPad or something and trying to swipe and keep my fingers in the right spot all the time. It's just not worth it. And no. Until they can put shooters on the iPad, unfortunately, that's when it's going to be taken seriously, when you can play a Call of Duty on the iPad, because that's just the people who buy games the most.
Right. If they could turn that thing into, you can play Black Ops anywhere, just grab your controller that came in the box, and you can play Black Ops at the coffee shop, in the car, as you're driving, like anywhere. More car accidents, but more people buying it.
Yeah, if they could do, you know, if there was a way to just even stream it, you know, in a dream world, you'd be able to stream something from your Xbox to an iPad. You know, they're doing the second screen thing with the Xbox One is using Smart Glass, but I don't know, what I've seen so far of Smart Glass really hasn't impressed me that much. There's so much potential there, but the problem is that the companies that have the pieces of technology you need to put together to make one thing are in competition with each other. So unfortunately, it's a matter of we have to wait until somebody's research department figures it all out.
I feel like that smart glass stuff could be potentially interesting. It's like if you're very into whatever you're doing, you grab the pad and you look up other stuff about it. But I kind of feel like, especially with like TV shows and stuff, how many different devices and screens and stupid things do I need going at once to divide my attention between what's happening on Game of Thrones? I grab my phone, I'm looking at a stupid map of the place. On the iPad, I've got, like, character bios that I'm scrolling through, and I got my other computer open so I can be on the forums at the same time going, "Did you just see that? I can't believe they cut his head off!" It's like, Jesus, just watch the show.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing that I think Microsoft's doing wrong with smart glasses, that a lot of what they showed off at E3 was, oh, look, you can use this as a second screen to help you. And it's like, no, that's not helping me, is that you're taking my attention away from the screen I'm looking at. So now my eyes are going back and forth between two screens. And now my focus, you know, my concentration is being moved back and forth between these two screens. So you're kind of taking me out of you're trying to add to the experience, but you're actually taking me out of it.
If I was given a choice, I would live in a cabin in the woods with no electricity. I would just, like, hunt and gather my way through life until I reached the old age of 36 and died of diphtheria or something. So maybe I'm a little bit of a Luddite. Maybe that's the problem.
Jeremiah Johnson style.
I'm not anti-technology, really. I love gadgets. Every time something new comes out, there I am wanting it badly. But then I never end up using it to its full potential, and I buy, like, every new game that comes out, I buy it, and I never have time to play it. They just sit there, or, on the other hand, the thing that's worse is I'll play it for 8 hours, and I'll be able to sense that I'm almost at the end, but I don't want to finish it so soon, so I think, I'll put it down and finish it later. Never, ever finish it at that point. It just sits on the shelf. I'm too nervous to play it. I don't want to finish it because I spent $60 on it and almost finished it in the first day, so it feels like a waste, and then I never bother to go back and do it.
And if you try to, it's usually 2 months later when you've forgotten how to play it, or you're just not at a point where you can beat the end of the game.
I should just get out of games playing. I should just go move into the woods and make a teepee. Speaking of teepee making, is Nintendo going to be making a teepee to live in after their company closes because the Wii U is terrible? Is that what we're hearing on the internet now?
They'll just make their teepees out of leftover Wii U's. They can just use the Wii U's and have...
That was a hell of a segue.
I thought you'd like that.
That was so smooth. I think you did it in advance.
This whole podcast is an elaborate plan from the very beginning. It's so scripted.
We're just really good at seeming inept.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
That's why we're not on stage doing this.
Look forward to that at PAX, friends. If you meet me there, we'll do it. Both people who listen regularly will be
live.
There. So
we'll do a show on ice.
They're perfect. So what are your feelings on Nintendo right now? Like, I love my 3DS. I think Animal Crossing is the perfect game for me because I don't have to play it that long, but I can definitely play it a little bit each day. Something new's going on, and it's portable. So when the children steal the TV, which is every minute of every day, I can still do something. But the Wii U is like a giant DS that doesn't go anywhere or play any games I want to play.
Well, the Wii U is like the biggest... Everything that Nintendo could have done wrong with the Wii U, they did wrong. They released it too early. They released it with superbly inferior technology, you know, to the point where it's only a slight step up from the consoles that were rounded in the last generation. And then they put it all the stock into a second screen, which I just explained my feelings about second screens, and then they put it out and didn't release any games for it. It just, everything they did with the Wii U made zero sense to me, and now they're trying to make up for it by flooding the market with 30 different Nintendo titles, and so now they're going from having nothing to oversaturating to the point where everybody's drowning. You're just drowning your characters in sequels now, just because you're desperate because you didn't sell any systems.
I actually wrote an article about Nintendo the other day. Basically, in the UK, one of the big supermarkets that make up kind of a stupidly large percentage of all of the places that people shop for their groceries or whatever, they are no longer doing the Wii U. You can only get it on their website. And most other supermarkets aren't stocking it or are kind of stocking it casually. Some weeks it'll be in, some weeks it won't. They haven't officially said that's it, but they're not really supporting it. And I wrote an article about how Nintendo it's going to really hurt them because, yes, all right, hardcore gamers aren't going to go into a supermarket and pick up a Wii U, but a lot of people do. A lot of casual gamers will see it there week after week, week after week, week after week, and then 2 weeks before Christmas, they'll pick it up because their kid points at it every week and says, I want it. And it will hurt them. It will hurt them if that happens, if they cannot buy it. And I happen to write that the Wii U is dead, and the comments were incredibly negative. The Wii U is not dead. There is no way that it's dead. It doesn't matter that it's only sold 150,000 units since Christmas. It's not
dead.
That's
all it sold this year?
It is all... I want to say that that's right.
Wow, that's worse than I thought.
It has sold very few. The one game that's sold incredibly well on it is Super Mario Bros. U. It's got like a 66% connect rate, so most people...
Yeah, that was also a launch title, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And most of the people that own the console own that game. Roughly on par with the amount of people that bought Halo 3 for the Xbox 360. That's how successful that game has been. The difference being that like 10 million people bought Halo 3 at that percentage, and only 2.5 million, 3 million have bought Mario U. So basically what that's saying is that these games that are coming out, they need to not only shift consoles, but they really need to sell themselves. And there's only kind of two games that'll do it, and that's Mario Kart and Super Smash Bros. Super Smash Bros. Isn't out until next year, and Mario Kart, it's not going to outsell Super Mario Bros. U. There is no way that, when it's the only game available for the system, there's no way that more people will buy a game at that point in the lifespan more than a game that's the only thing worth buying.
Here's the crazy sales fact that I read. It was something similar. It was like 150,000. I think that might have only been within the last like 4 months rather than, you know, since Christmas, but... I mean, how big of a difference is that really? That's still pretty terrible. But they said that the Wii U at this point has sold less than the GameCube had after the same amount of time, and that is mind-blowing to me.
At some point, Nintendo has to realize that they've been putting out the same game for the last 12 years, and instead of, you know, even, you know, when the GameCube came out, we had weird games like Super Mario Sunshine, and, you know, just think about Nintendo is that they always found interesting ways to take their franchises, and they've just totally stopped doing that. They've bought into this whole trend of we got to go retro and recapture the old nostalgia, but now they've re-released the same, like, new Super Mario Brothers. It's not new anymore. You know, you've released it 4 or 5 times, and I just feel the same way. They're doing the same thing with every franchise, and then, you know, the ones that they don't, like Pikmin. Say, Pikmin's been sitting on the sidelines for so long, it's to the point where you've lost your audience for the game, so now you're trying to say, oh, we're being innovative again, and we're bringing things back, but you're bringing things back that are no longer relevant. Like, you need to make a new Mario game that does something different, that, you know, even more than Galaxy did. Like, you need to really think about reinventing the wheel, because you put out an inferior, your system's inferior, like, clearly inferior, and it's going to be even more inferior when the new systems come out. And you just have nothing to draw people to your system except for that Nintendo nostalgia, but that Nintendo nostalgia just, it can't last forever, and Nintendo's going to learn that hard lesson really soon.
The thing about the Wii U, I do think that people have been overly harsh with it to a certain extent. You know, I've got very few complaints about the Wii U itself. The Miiverse is absolutely fantastic. There is no way that all this Facebook integration and all that sort of thing that are in the new consoles is going to even compare to the Miiverse, because the Miiverse is incredibly clever and it's very creative and I love it. The problem is that Nintendo have decided that they are Nintendo and they don't have to copy other consoles. It doesn't matter how successful a feature's been. It just, nothing matters. What matters is that Nintendo are doing what they want to do in the way they want to do it. And that is such a terrible attitude to come in with. You know, all the things that they said about achievements before launch proves that. You know, I would be buying more multi-platform games anyway on Wii U if it had achievements. Not because I'm necessarily that I enjoy achievements and trophies, although I do, but because by buying it on Wii U, I'm instantly getting something. I'm getting less than I'm getting on other consoles. There's no incentive for me to explore the whole game. It's the same game. I just have no reason outside of enjoying that game to get 100%.
Well, and on the note of Nintendo being Nintendo, I think when they announced the Wii U, they made an attempt to step outside of their own name and court the regular gamers, but it was a half-assed attempt. I mean, you know, they had this big presentation with Electronic Arts, and a year later, and the people at EA are saying, we're not really working on any Wii U games anymore. You know, the first sports game that came out on the Wii U was a reskinned version of, it was FIFA, it was a reskinned version of the Wii version of FIFA. I mean, Nintendo has made a few attempts to try and court, you know, your regular average I play sports and Call of Duty gamer, but it hasn't been a real attempt to do it. They haven't tried to say, okay, well, we're bringing Call of Duty over here and this is what we're doing with it. We're going to do this with it and make it our own. And even if they stuck Mario in Call of Duty, people would be interested in it, you know. They're just not even, when it comes to that, they're not even trying. And like you said, with that, if they're not even trying to do that, it's you're cutting out such a huge part of the gamer base these days. Like, the Wii U sales are telling you how much casual gamers are actually buying. Like, they don't buy as much as you think they do. Like, you need to court the people that want to have a system, that want to play sports games with their friends, that want to play shooter games, like that kind of thing. Like, I don't want to be the person that, you know, that says first-person shooters are the best, because, you know, I'm kind of tired of playing them myself. But, you know, when you look at the market, like, you need to have a couple of successful first-person shooters to have a good system. And what does the Wii U have? Zombie U? That it?
Zombie U.
Do they have anything else?
There was some multi-platform games, but they tended to not control especially well. I played 007 Legends the other day, and it just didn't feel right.
I mean, Microsoft, that's one of the differences that Microsoft recognizes, that, like, even though I'm not super excited about it. Look at a game like Titanfall. Titanfall is going to get a game that gets people to buy systems to play games with each other, because it's a new take on a genre that we've played a lot. And Nintendo is bringing the genres that we like, but they're not bringing anything new to it. We put a screen on our gamepad. Whew.
I think
blow my mind.
The point about the Nintendo nostalgia thing and how they keep trying to milk it. Yeah, the reason for me that fails is because, like a lot of my friends, it's like, we just buy the retro games. To me, that's, I really like having an NES and legit copies of Mario and whatever else and a Super Nintendo. That's what the nostalgia thing does for me. If you just keep remaking the same game, it's like, well, I don't care about this because you already made the best one like 15 years ago. I can just play that again a million times. I'd rather play Mario World or Super Mario Bros. 3 than any of the new Super Mario Bros. Games. Like, it's not even a contest.
But, you know, I think, thinking about it a little more deeply, the Wii U kind of failed 6 or 7 years ago. Before they'd announced it, before they'd even really released the Wii worldwide, I think they lost a lot of support there. People, a lot of core gamers bought the GameCube and no one else bought the GameCube. A lot of core gamers had the GameCube and they played through Eternal Darkness and they played through Mario Sunshine, and it wasn't a super successful console, but there's a lot of people who were happy with the output on there. There's a lot of cult classics on that console, and Nintendo then did the Wii, which sold a stupid amount, but now all the people that should be buying games on the Wii U are instead buying the PS3 or Xbox 360 versions.
Or they're just not buying games. That's the thing with the Wii's sales, is that a lot of those sales came from people that would never buy game systems and probably never will again. Like, I can't tell you how many, you know, my friends' parents' houses I went into, you know, when I was in college and stuff, and, oh, what do you guys have a Wii in your house? Oh, we have Wii Fit, and we play Wii Sports with our neighbors and stuff, and it's like, you know, Nintendo did, they made an interesting move going there. They found a new market, but it was a short-lived market. It was a bubble, and it burst, and they didn't realize it was a bubble.
Yeah, I feel
and
like
in
they,
the meantime, they've lost everyone.
Right, and well, that's like the problem there, is I feel like the Wii was great for games in general, but they got all these people in, and then there were three choices. Either they just stopped playing games altogether, or they're happy with their two games on Wii, or they graduated, I hate to use that term, but it's the only thing I can think of, so they graduated to real games, and they play them on PS3, or they're looking forward to PS4 or Xbox One, or they like games, and they're like, oh, this kind of casual style of game, I like it, and they play those on their phone now. They don't need, like, a new console to do it. So, I don't know who they thought was going to be buying into the Wii U, really, except for the most ridiculous Nintendo fans.
Well, I think you made the best point on from the mind of a consumer there when you said that people graduate to go play real games. That's the thing. People don't view Nintendo as a company that makes real games anymore. They just make the same games over and over again. Like, people have realized that at this point. They say, oh, Nintendo doesn't, like, they appear to take, they I'm not going to say they don't take gaming seriously, but they don't seem to take gamers seriously anymore. They say, okay, we've got these three franchises that sell a ton of merchandise, so we're just going to milk them and milk them and milk them, and people aren't responding to it anymore. Like you said, they don't even consider it real games anymore. Those are Nintendo games. It's not an elegant thing to be a Nintendo game anymore. Like, you get looked down upon to be a Nintendo game now, and for good reason.
I kind of think what interests me most in the coming months is to see how surprised people are when the Xbox One and PS4 kind of struggle as well, because I'm almost certain that they will, because people keep turning around to me. I said this the other day in this article, that basically the last three major console launches, the 3DS, the Vita, and the Wii U, have all struggled. And people keep saying to me, software. It's because of software. It's because these consoles came out and there weren't any games we wanted to play. That's not true. The Vita launched with 30 games. The Wii U had like 15 or 16, I think. There were games on it to play, and they were good games, but you'd already play them. They weren't going to be super interesting. They might have had new features, They might even have been sequels, but there was nothing there that was a system seller. And there's nothing on next-gen consoles that are going to be system sellers either. Of the 30 or so games that will release on each console in the launch window, there are very few that are going to cause people generally to say, right, that one game means that I have to go and buy a new console. And I think people are going to be surprised by how few the next-gen consoles sell as well.
Well, I also think because we're getting more of the same there. Like a lot of the games we've seen, that we saw at E3 and stuff, save for like, the game that the Bastion creators are making and stuff, which isn't even going to be like your typical $60 console game. Like those games are just more of the same, but bigger. Most of them are even the same franchises that we've played, just bigger. Like, I don't know, even Watch Dogs, watching demos of Watch Dogs doesn't get me that excited. I'm just saying, oh, I've played this game 30 times in the last 10 years, $400 just to have that experience.
And of course, Watch Dogs is coming out on PS3 and Xbox 360 anyway, so it's not going to be a
Exactly.
system seller.
I don't even need to.
Unless you're going to buy a next-gen console anyway, you're not going to get it for the next-gen console, you'll just get it for your current-gen console.
Right, that's I feel like a big problem too is like my gadgetiness makes me want to buy into these new consoles just because I like to have something new. I always think it's new, it's shiny, I gotta buy it. I'm like a child or whatever. But at the end of the day, there's gonna be no games at first. All the games that are coming out are going to probably look nearly as good and run far better on the consoles that we already own, and they might even be $10 cheaper. So I don't know. I feel like I'd be stupid to buy one right away, even though I probably will, because there's just going to be a price drop after 6 months or a year, and then maybe there'll be some games out that are worth playing.
And this is where I think the Nintendo problem kind of comes from, because at the minute they're the underdog. Everyone knows that these new consoles are coming out within months, and Nintendo really have to prove themselves, and Mario Kart isn't going to do it. But these same people are going to be just devastated. Well, they probably won't be. They'll probably be making excuses when the next gen consoles come out, because there's no reason to think that the next gen consoles are going to do much better than the Wii U. And part of that is actually the press's fault, because they keep making stories about pre-orders. Oh, there's so many pre-orders without actually giving any numbers. People keep thinking that the pre-order records are kind of going mad, and that must mean that tens of millions of people are pre-ordering these next gen consoles. And that's not true. You're probably talking about tens of thousands, probably not even hundreds of thousands, probably tens of thousands of pre-orders. And that's not enough to make a successful launch. They might be breaking pre-order numbers, but that's not enough for a successful launch.
Yeah, exactly. Like even the first month the consoles are out aren't going to be very telling on how things are because it's the holiday season. That's why the consoles are launching when they are. We're going to see a ton of consoles get sold and games get sold right up until Christmas. And then after Christmas is when, the first few months of 2014, when a lot of the launch window titles are coming out and stuff, is when we'll really start to see how much of these, how much these new systems are getting adapted. And I think you're right, Matt. I don't think it's going to happen quite as fervently as people think it's going to.
Matt just wants to be right that everyone's gonna suck for a while, but in the end they sort of pick it up. Here's my question. What's the next Wii? Like, do you think if like the Wii U is the GameCube, after the GameCube they came out of nowhere and said, "Here's the Wii, it's all new," and they sold 1 billion, after Wii U do they reinvent games again? Or do you think they just are like, "Well, we're just gonna get into the high definition graphics and try to compete with them on specs market"?
I was just going to say, I don't think that there will be another Wii. I think that the way that the gaming landscape has changed in the last 7 years, I don't think that it's that you can even guess where we're going to be in another 6 or 7 or 8 years. Mobile gaming's really taken off. If someone manages to speed up the process of keeping up with home consoles, but with a phone or with a portable device that you just kind of stick in your TV or whatever, then and they manage to do it well, that's when you'll start seeing kind of another evolution.
I think I kind of agree with points of that. I think I agree with you. I think the Wii U is probably the last traditional Nintendo home console system. I don't know. I don't know why I'm losing faith in Nintendo, but it's just been a slow process over the last 6 or 7 years. Just my faith in that they're like that company's just eroded. But I do think that Nintendo should look at their future in handhelds because I think that's one place where they've always had an edge on people. Even with, iOS now, like you can't get the kind of games you get on a 3DS that you can, that you get on an iPhone. They just don't compare for the most part. So if Nintendo goes back to the drawing board and finds a way to put together a really, really powerful portable device that, puts the Vita to shame, because, the Vita's, I don't see, maybe they do a Vita Slim in a couple of years that has some updated tech, but I don't really, because, Sony wants to use it with their PS4, so I don't see them putting out a new piece of portable hardware. So I think if Nintendo wants a place to look in the future, it should be in their handhelds, because the 3DS is strong, and the 3DS has a lot of really good games on it. It has developers that are still making games for it, that are still making interesting, it gets some really quirky little releases on it. And I think if they focus on that in the next generation, there's a lot of potential there. Because I think that one thing Apple hasn't paid enough attention to with their devices is gaming. And until they do, you're not going to be able to see the iPhone and the iPad as a real serious, a full-time serious gaming device. Casual gamers use it all the time, but when you talk to like your core gamers, it's all, it's underneath your console, it's probably underneath a 3DS and like what they choose to play their games on. So I think that's where Nintendo's got a lot of potentials in the handheld. If they come up with a 3DS that's HD and super fast and that kind of stuff and put the Miiverse on it and all that.
I don't like to really talk about the future of home consoles because people get very passionate about it. They seem to think that so long as they and their friends will carry on buying 360s or whatever, or Xbox Ones and PS4s, then that's what's always going to happen. And it's not because they don't have the foresight, but they don't really understand how an industry can go from having 180 million consoles sold to a quarter of that or a half of that. They don't understand where all these people who are buying consoles could just go. And I think the answer to that has to be we just don't know. We don't know what will be coming up next. We don't know where technology will be in several years. And it's best not to guess at it. But there will come a time when home consoles are a thing of the past. You don't need consoles to play even most games now with PCs the way they are.
And most games are better on the PC, or at least look better and run
Exactly.
better.
And yes, all right, there are advantages to owning a console over a PC, but what happens when someone just basically, probably Steam and Valve, what happens when they release their console? And it's basically just a PC that you can't upgrade, or that you can upgrade and that just it has a Steam UI. What happens then? Is that still a console? Is it a PC? And that's where I think kind of the end of the home console will kind of come from, is from a device that manages to be as convenient as a console, but as powerful as a PC and as upgradable as a PC and with as many tools as a PC.
Well, we know that they're not planning on making another, they're setting in for the long haul with these consoles. I'd assume, I'm sure they wouldn't say this in public, but Microsoft and Sony probably know that this may be the last, generation of what we call the home console. I mean, the Xbox One is designed to stay powered on for a decade straight. I mean, these consoles they're not building these to use them for a few years and put them out. That's the one thing why I don't understand why they didn't make them. They didn't say from the start that, these systems, we might make these so you can upgrade them. Like, I wouldn't be surprised in a couple of years. Obviously, I'm guessing in the future, just like Matt hates, but if they eventually put out a system, an Xbox One that you could, pop something out of and pop something new in or get it upgraded or something like that. Just because, like you said, like at some point, when do people just start adopting PCs? People that really like to play games and just say, all right, I don't even need a console anymore because I can't upgrade it. It's just stationary piece of hardware with a mostly stationary piece of software. Like, when are gamers going to say, I want my choice? People like to have their freedom now with everything.
And the other edge of that is that this generation has been the longest ever, I think, and it has really taken its toll. You only need to look at kind of how many developers have ended up jumping onto mobile titles or have just given up entirely or their company's gone bust or whatever to realize that there's a lot of people that just haven't financially been able to carry on throughout the generation. And if Microsoft and Sony, it benefits them to have these long generations, but if they think that that anyone but the biggest publishers will be able to cope with that 10-year life cycle again, they're going to be very disappointed, I think. And I think a lot of gamers are going to be disappointed as well.
I'm always harping on it, but I would be pretty surprised if things like tablets are not where everyone is headed. I feel like there are sort of a range of specs. You could have ones that are as small and as portable, or, like, I mean, they make tablets that are, like, 22 inches or whatever. And how, by the end of this, I mean, like you say, the specs on these consoles that are coming out the end of the year are going to be the same specs they have 8 years from now, but what are the specs going to be on tablets by then? I mean, could they, do we live in a world where tablets could surpass those consoles in 8 years' time? I mean, could they be as good or better? Could they have the same games or better games, and you can, like, grab your 10-inch one and play it anywhere over, like, 4G? You can play, like we said, Call of Duty or whatever, anywhere you want. I would never buy a home console again if I had a console that was just a screen that was big enough for me to play at home, but portable enough for me to play somewhere else.
Like if the Microsoft Surface was something, obviously not a Microsoft Surface, but say Sony made a PlayStation Surface that, you know, had the full technology of something in that, you know, like you said, a full framework. It's just in your hand and you can move it around, and it's not this big box that just sits there and you have to hold on to for 8 years you can't do anything with.
I probably part of the issue of portability is just I automatically apply all things to my life, and as a person with kids, I don't get to sit in front of the TV anymore, so if it's not portable, I don't get as much chance to play it. Maybe if I was still 13, I'd just be like, well, what's the problem? I can sit in front of a TV all day long or whatever. But I feel like older people are playing games and gamers are getting older. Of course, there's always going to be kids playing them, but I mean, my son, by the time he's 13 or whatever, maybe he'll just play all games on a tablet or whatever, and it won't even be a strange thing. He could plug it into the TV if he wants. He can carry it with him. He could play the same games on his phone, probably. Forget it. What does he want a PlayStation for?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was a pretty intense discussion, gents, but I think it's time to wrap it up. It's been like an hour. People quit listening probably 40 minutes ago. And I think Matt's gone dead anyway.
You still there, Matt?
I am. I'm just miles away. I think I left 45 minutes ago as well.
You're meditating on the future of consoles and tablets and PCs. Well,
yeah, we'll say that.
Well, I think that's it for us this week. Thanks for joining me, folks.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
I look forward to doing it again. Until next week, we are out.